previously on Cliff and Kendall Coast to Coast.
This week we were going to do Budo, all about the assassination. That happened.
That happened and it derailed us.
Hey, listen. It's two fellas that really put the more in morbidly obese, Cliff and Kendall.
You got bills to pay and the rent is due, but you spent your money all up on food. Your car blew up into a fireball. It would be nice to escape it all. To go someplace where the laughs are free, and there are bad jokes and bad hosts and bits of humanity. Ladies and gentlemen, Cliff and Kendall Coast to Coast. We're the show that'll never say die. Ladies and gentlemen, Cliff and Kendall are your hosts. Come along for the ride, where we can laugh about everything and make it through anything. Belch in your face and hear that ding-a-ring, and occasionally we sing. Ladies and gentlemen, Cliff and Kendall and all the friends are here and ready to go. And now that you, the listener, are here, we're ready to start the show.
This week we're talking St. Patrick's Day.
Ladies and gentlemen, Cliff and Kendall.
The luck of the Irish. Cliff, it's St. Patrick's Day.
Kendall.
Are you wearing green?
I'm wearing green. Look over at me. I'm wearing green. Are you wearing green?
All you're wearing is green, Cliff. You have on a green suit. I would think you wouldn't have went so far. But
I wore a green. What are you doing over there?
Sorry.
I wore a green bodysuit today because it is St. Patrick's Day. I wanted everybody to go Irish or go home today.
Go green or go home.
Yeah, in fact, I brought something in. I found this sitting on our front stoop today.
Uh-oh.
It is from, it's got a card here, and it says, Kendall, this is from Mrs. Potter Butter Buttercherm.
Oh, Mrs. Potter Butter Buttercherm, we love her. I love her.
I love her too. And this says, I hope that today is lucky for you and every day. Love, Mrs. Potter Butter Buttercherm. Let's see what it
is. That was so thoughtful.
Oh, Kendall, it is some lucky Irish sherry.
Ooh, pour a little of that over here.
I'm going to open it up right now, Kendall, while you introduce us to St. Patrick's Day 2012.
Oh, here we are, 2012. Did we do a St. Patrick's show last year?
I don't know. Look in the archives real quick. Run to the storage closet. Get out our ledger.
I'll be right back.
And,
no, I'm kidding. Usually every year around this time, I have given up alcohol for Lent. And this is
I know.
Time
Why
I've learned in a long
do
time.
You torture yourself in such a ridiculous way?
I decided this year to
Why
not
do you
torture
do
myself
it?
So badly.
Smart. We learn.
No. What are you doing besides drinking some of the sherry that you're pouring us?
Give me your glass.
Oh, there you go.
Okay.
Oh, a little bit more. Oh, there you go. Okay. What are you planning on doing? Are you doing anything fun for St. Patrick's Day? Because I don't think I usually ever really celebrate it and go out. Like, a lot of people go out and drink, but I think it's because I've always given up alcohol for Lent, so maybe this year might be different.
I was going to say it's probably because we're already going out and drinking, and we just never even... Kendall. No, the answer's no. Short answer, no. I'm not doing anything special.
I'm going to go search for the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. It's what I'm going to do. I've been unemployed.
Yeah.
I've been unemployed for so long now that I was sitting on the couch earlier today watching TV, and I kept thinking, I wonder at what point I will fuse to the couch and become one of those people they have to cut out.
I want
to know, what point it happens.
I think it happens for people at different times.
It's like when you become Oprah. It just happens.
It just happens. It's like one day you're sitting there, you're cruising the prude, you're belching on a show, and then the next day you're Oprah and Oprah belching on a show. And it just happens. And one day you're sitting there and you can get up to air out the sweat pockets under your man breast, and the next day you can't. You have to get somebody to give you...
You have your aha moment that you're attached to the couch.
A toilet brush to lift up and just... get some fresh air into there. But Kendall, no, why are we talking about that on such an unlucky thing, on such a lucky day? Kendall, the luck of the Irish.
I don't know.
Kendall, have you ever had a shamrock shake from McDonald's?
You know, I have not. And I saw that this year, and I thought about you, because you were talking about that either last year or 2 years ago. They're all running together now. I don't know.
So many. So many St. Patrick's Days we've celebrated with you, listeners. Happy St. Patrick's Day to you, listening at home or in the car, wherever you are, at work, at your desk.
But I saw it, and I thought about you. And now, what does it taste like?
I feel like it probably just tastes a lot like a vanilla milkshake.
Oh, I thought it had like some sort of mint taste. Because when I see green, I think of mint, and I don't like mint.
Some people say, folklore has it, that some people are adherent to their belief that it is mint flavored. But other naysayers say, nay, it is just the green color making you think that it's mint color. It's a psychological experiment run amok. I don't know anymore.
I didn't know there was such controversy surrounding the Shamrock Shake.
Kendall, if... We are not here to blow the lid off of the Shamrock Shake conundrum. Who is?
I don't know. Cliff, do you know what a shamrock symbolizes?
A shamrock to the people of Ireland. A shamrock was definitely become a central symbol for the day of St. Patrick's Day. And in the olden days, the shamrock was seen as sacred due to its green color and overall shape. Many believed it to represent rebirth and life.
Well, and to symbolize the teaching of the Holy Trinity by St. Patrick.
How do you like that answer?
How did you ever come up with these amazing answers on your own, Cliff? How do you do it?
How do you like them shamrocks?
Now, in Ireland, you know, St. Patrick's Day is a holy day of obligation. was that Charles the Contractor under the studio again? He bounds. He's like,
I don't know. I don't know, Kendall. What does that even mean, that thing that you said?
Well, Christians in Ireland attend church as they would every Sunday and treat it as a day of rest to spend with the family. And
I'm bored
attend
already.
Church, well, I wasn't going to get into it. I was just telling you it was a whole
day
of obligation.
Thanks. I'm obligated, Kendall. I'm obligated to only two things in my life.
What's that?
Obesity and this show, and that, not a joke.
I didn't know you'd ever say it. You were like, that?
Not a joke.
Cliff.
Kendall, I wish it were. I wish it were. I wish I could unroll these fat blobs all over my body and just leave them behind like a snail leaves a trail of snot behind.
If I only had a fat eraser. Cliff, After dying in a car crash, three friends go to heaven.
Uh-oh.
They go to heaven for orientation. They are all They are all asked the same question. When you're lying in your casket and your friends and family are mourning over you, what do you want to hear them say about you? And so the first guy immediately responds, I would like to say I was one of the great doctors of my time and a great family man. And Cliff, the second guy, says, I would like to hear that I was a wonderful husband and a school teacher who made a huge difference in the children of tomorrow.
Aww.
And finally, Cliff, the last guy, thanks for a moment, and he says, well, I guess I'd like to hear them say, look, he's moving.
Oh. Hilarious. At every turn. At every turn.
Just like that car crash. Cliff, tell me a joke. I don't know what you're doing over there. You're sorting your shamrocks.
I'm sorting them into categories by greenness, leaf, flexibility. Kendall, a little boy, went to the bathroom at school. Oh. But when he went to, oh my God, when he went to wipe his ass, there was no toilet paper, so he used, oh, for pity's sake, he used his hands.
Oh,
and when
God.
He got back to class, his teacher asked him, what do you have in your hands? And the little boy said, I have a little leprechaun. And if I open my hands, well, he'll get scared away. And the little boy, that's what he said. And he was then sent, to the principal's office. And the principal asked him, what do you have in your hands? A little leprechaun. And if I opens my hands, he'll get killed. Okay, now he was sent right home. He was sent packing. And his mom said, well, what the hell do you have in your hands? I got a little leprechaun, and if I open my hands, he'll get scared away. And he was sent to his room. Oh, my God. And his daddy came in, and he said, well, son, what you got in your hands? I got a little leprechaun, and if I open my hands, he'll get scared away. Oh, God. Kendall, then his dad got real mad and said, open your damn hands. And the little boy, he said, well, look, Dad, he scared the crap right out of him. Oh.
That was a dirty joke.
Bill.
Cliff, yeah. An old man
goes
to the wizard
Me.
To ask him if he can remove a curse he has been living with for the last 40 years.
Oh, who else are you going to turn to?
And the wizard, he says, maybe, but you will have to tell me the exact words that were used to put the curse on you. And Cliff, the old man says without hesitation, I now pronounce you man and wife.
Oh.
It's a curse, Cliff. Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. One day, Kendall, during a lesson on proper grammar, the teacher asks for a show of hands for who could use the word beautiful in the same sentence twice. I don't know why she did it. It sounds redundant to me. But then she called on little Susie, who responded, well, my father bought my mother a beautiful dress, and she just looked beautiful in it. Very good, Susie, replied the teacher, who obviously had no care for what these children are learning. And then
good
she
job,
called
little
upon
Susie.
Little Michael. And Michael, he said, well, my mommy planned a beautiful banquet, and it turned out beautifully. And, well, it's excellent, Michael. And then the teacher called, oh, no.
Uh-oh.
Oh, why did she call on him?
And don't
she called
ever on little call, Johnny. If you ever have a little boy named Little John in your class, don't call on him.
Don't. You just get a refrigerator box, cardboard box. Cut it open and just put it around their desk, around little Johnny's desk. Don't look at him. Don't go near it. Just hand homework over the top. And little Johnny, he says, last night at dinner, my sister told my father that she was pregnant. And he said, well, that's beautiful. That's just fucking beautiful.
Oh, such a messed up household that is, Cliff.
It's no wonder why some people are the way they are if you know what's going on at home.
Cliff, speaking of, little Johnny.
Ooh, what is he up to now?
Little Johnny and little Billy were engaging in the time-honored tradition of a verbal battle like little boys all over the world, Cliff. And he said,
verbal battles. Does that take me back?
It does. Little Billy said, my father's better than your father. And little Johnny said, no, he's not. And then little Billy said, my brother is better than your brother. And Johnny said, no, he's not. He is not. And then little Billy said, my mother is better than your mother. And there was a long pause. And little Johnny said, well, I guess you got me there. I heard my father say the same thing more than once.
Oh.
That's just beautiful, Cliff. Just f***ing beautiful.
Beautiful. Now, Kendall, I really did once get into
a verbal battle
with my cousin over whose dad could pull a bigger tree out of the ground.
Who won?
But speaking of things I don't remember, there was a man and his wife in the bedroom one night. Oh, Kendall, they just finished making love.
Ooh, of course
and
they did.
The man, he asks his wife, honey, did you enjoy did you enjoy the fun we just had? And she says, yes, of course, dear. Didn't you hear me laughing?
Oh. bitch.
Oh no, Kendall, oh no.
Half of all marriages end in death, Cliff.
Uh-oh. Oh, Kendall, I gotta take a break after that.
I gotta take so many breaks. We'll be right back after this.
Don't touch that dial. There's more sass on the way. Stay tuned for more Cliff and Kendall Coast to Coast.
Catch that leprechaun. He's got Lucky Charms. They're magically delicious.
Always after me, Lucky Charms. The frosted oat cereal with sweet surprises. Hearts, moons, stars, clovers. See? Magically delicious. They're coming. I'll make a tunnel.
Frosted Lucky Charms with sweet surprises.
Magically delicious.
Welcome back to the show. I hope you're ready for fat people.
I'm a deep water sailor just in from Hong Kong.
Give me way, hey, blow the man down.
If you give me some grog, I'll sing you a song.
Give me some time to blow the man down.
And we're back.
Oh, we're back. Kendall, we're back. What a great break. I hope everybody had a relaxing St. Patrick's Day break.
I did not have a relaxing break. I was chasing a leprechaun all around the studio, Cliff.
Bastard.
What
is going on? I don't even know. It's happening anymore.
I think those green Rice Krispie treats had something in them.
Well, you know, speaking of those Rice Krispie treats.
Yes.
I know they are that we don't have the exact recipe that Tyler always used to make, butternut Rye Krispies.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what he did with it. He filed it away somewhere. I can't find it.
He took it with him, Cliff.
Took it with him.
To that podcasting booth in the sky.
Yeah, he's up there with it making Whitney Houston and Liz Taylor butternut Rye Krispies, and I get it. Still, we don't have that recipe anymore. But yeah, this is something that our interns whipped up. Today, and do you think they're pretty good? I don't know.
They've something in them.
Something in them, Kendall. It's time, love, and tenderness is what I think.
I don't know if it's that, in Cliff. Them. There's something else in that makes me act a little stupid, Cliff. It's time for Kendall's stupid question.
Oh, Kendall, speaking of stupid, I was listening back to an episode from like a month or so ago, and we were both just talking about Tyler as though he was still alive.
Every time I bring up Tyler's name, you cry for 2 hours. I thought it was best just to let it go, that you were having a moment.
I was having a moment, and I was just having a fat person. There's a fat globule worked its way in my brain.
Yeah, they happen sometimes. Cliff, what is the most extravagant thing that you have ever purchased for yourself?
Listeners, back a long time ago, back before everybody had a laptop, back before anybody had an iPod, it was the late 90s. And
it seems like yesterday. I was like, that wasn't that long ago, but it was.
No, it really was, because I spent around $400 on a CD burner where you put one CD in one slot and another blank CD in another slot, and you could make mixtapes, and you made them the old-fashioned way, listening to the music like you did cassettes. And it was a long time ago. Can you believe, Kendall, that I did that? But it meant the world to me. I felt like a magician being able to do that.
And I am a magician now. See? We're so connected, Cliff.
We are. Can all our dreams have already come true? I don't know why.
They have.
We're still alive.
I magish people every week. Cliff, what scared you the most when you were young? Not having a CD burner?
Not having being a fat person as an adult, no. I guess watching Unsolved Mysteries, because I always assumed that I would be abducted during one night while I was watching the show Unsolved Mysteries.
Yes, that was terrifying. I couldn't watch it alone.
What about you? What scared you the most?
Herpes. No, I'm kidding. I don't know where that came from. It's the Krispies. Let's see. What scared me the most? Deep water scared me really badly.
Deep water. Good thing and not spiders. Fat. That's what
and spiders. I just watched Arachnophobia last night. I couldn't sleep, and I watched Arachnophobia, and I had nightmares about spiders biting my face. I even put on Facebook last night, I was like, I'm going to have nightmares, and I did.
Oh, Kendall. Why?
So, see, I brought my nightmares up to current reality right now. Cliff, what one event in history would you change if you could? The moment you were handed that first piece of pizza?
The moment I was handed my first piece of pizza. What if Lincoln weren't assassinated?
That's so weird we're on the same page. I watched a special today about his assassination in my many hours of unemployment, and I was thinking, wonder what would have happened if he wasn't assassinated.
I wonder. Well, let's find out. That's what I'll change.
But I think I would choose John F. Kennedy. Because I always think to myself, like, what would this world be like?
What would this world be like? Oh, or if George W. Bush had not been
president. That's a good one, too.
That's a really good one, too.
We might not be doing this show because we'd be too happy. Everything would be too wonderful. We wouldn't need a show.
Too happy. Who needs a show to document how wonderful everything is? Yeah.
All right, Cliff, one final question. If you could change one thing or one terrible thing about this world right now, some problem that the world has, what would you change? I would stop that. All right, well, that's all the time we have for Stupid Questions. It was a good choice, a good thing to change.
It was a good thing. Everybody needs a little change. It's the only thing constant is change.
I hear somebody coming.
Oh. Coming round the bend.
Oh, it's the trolley, Cliff. It's time to go to Busheltown.
I ain't seen the trolley. I don't know when.
Hey. Oh, he's, well, it's been a long time, I know. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Happy St. Pat's, trolley.
Oh, you having a good one? Oh, well, that's wonderful. He's going to go drink beer tonight, Cliff.
Oh, green beer for the trolley.
Well, let's go to Busheltown. Let's see what's happening. It's been a long time.
Oh.
This week's Journey to Busheltown is entitled Fat Actors, or How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love My Big Enormous Man Breast. We begin our tale in the rehearsal space occupied by the Busheltown community players. Barbara Waxmanshew and Stephen Gordon Blowman are sitting talking to a very important reporter from the Busheltown Examiner.
Ah, tell me, Farber, when was the first time you knew you were meant for the stage?
I believe it was when I was cast as Puck in the Busheltown Junior High School production of Shakespeare's Midsummer Night's Dream. No sixth grader had ever had such an important role before.
Interesting. Tell me, Farber, does acting have any downsides?
Yes. A life on the boards can be a cruel mistress. I actually learned that the hard way as a sixth grade prodigy acting my heart out as Puck, the mischievous standout role that I made my own. I was a large child, to say the least, and as Puck, one must wear a leotard. And well, had I not been so totally in character, I would have been scared forever by the audience's merciless taunts. The eighth graders were particularly brutal. They mocked me by calling me Fatter Waxma Boobs.
That's devastating. And yet you've overcome them hardships to become one of Busheltown's foremost dramatists.
It's true.
And as for you, Stevie Gordon Blomum, you started out your career acting as a fetus? Tell us more about that.
It's true. My sonogram photo was used on an episode of Sent Elsewhere.
That's absolutely fascinating. Can one of you tell me about tomorrow night's big premiere?
It's the Busheltown Players' first show of the season, Arthur Miller's The Crucible. I play Judge Werther, who sends so many of Salem's town folks to hell.
And I play John Proctor, a man wrongfully accused of being a witch. Of course, witches are girls.
The whole show has particular resonance for Busheltown, of course, as we had our own witch trials over 15 years ago.
We must never forget. Never forget again like we did that one time, the first time we forgot. Never forget again, or history will repeat itself again. That's what I say. But our readers want to know, do you have any interest in pre-show rituals?
We'll be dining at Juggins Taco Stall in the heart of downtown Busheltown.
Yes, Juggins Taco Stall has the greatest tacos in all of Bushel County. And they are also proudly sponsoring Arthur Miller's The Crucible, opening tomorrow night as a part of the Bolter Show, Saints of His Arts.
Tickets are still available, tacos only a quarter. The next day, Farber and Stevie Gordon did several vocal exercises and applied the heavy stage makeup required for the evening's performance. Then they headed off to Juggins Taco Stall, where tacos were only a quarter. Both thespians being people of considerable girth, they ordered a quite large order of tacos. The bill was over $60 between them, and they shared a small soda. You can imagine the intense food pain their stomachs were feeling. As though they'd accidentally swallowed an inflatable raft and they just farted out the cord. Nevertheless, the two corpulent performers knew that the show must go on, and so they made it to the Potter Butter Butter Churn Center for the Arts just before curtain was about to go up.
Ladies and gentlemen, this evening's performance of Arthur Miller's The Crucible is about to begin. Please extinguish all cigarettes. There is no eating or spitting during the performance.
I do say, Proctor, I have witnessed testimony that places you squarely on the path by the river talking to the horned devil beast just 3 weeks henceward.
Oh, George, you know it is a matter of... it's just...
It is a matter of God's law. Oh, God. If ye be magic makers, ye shall be stoned as according to...
George, will ye not show mercy to my... that's a fair.
I cannot allow you to contact Satan and ruin our fine Satan. I must maintain peace in this town. I care not if I have to hang the lot of you. Oh, shit, it's coming.
Oh, that's a pant load, but at least you're wearing a George's...
The law states clearly that if you consort with the devil, it's soaking through the ropes.
I be innocent, and so because the proctor answer your spooky woman.
I can only judge your innocence by throwing you into the ravine. If you do not die, you shall be killed for witchery.
Oh my. I just got a logbook now. I cannot put your poison further of shame.
No, Satan is not going to throw them on me. Later that night, Farber and Stevie Gordon sat waiting outside for the reviews to show up in the morning edition of Busheltown's Examiner.
Farber, do you think that they can overlook the small diarrhea storm in the first act?
I heard once that Carol Channing shit her pants at least 300 times over the course of her 1,200 performances of Hello, Dolly.
It has been said that Michael Crawford wore diapers during his run as the Phantom of the Opera.
It only makes sense. You have to live on stage and breathe life into your character. One cannot let nature calling get in the way of art.
Absolument.
So who cares what the reviews say? We don't need their approval for our artistic choices.
Let's eat a breakfast buffet and stay a good buddy.
And so, Farber and Stevie went to the nearest breakfast buffet instead of waiting for the reviews. Somehow or other, they learned a lesson about staying true to yourself, and that suited them just fine.
Extra, extra! Shitty performance at the PWBCFTA last night!
That's all for this week's Journey to Busheltown. Now back to you, Cliff and Kendall.
Oh, Cliff, I've had moments like that.
Who hasn't had a few moments like that where just your intense food pain that your belly is feeling, it just intrudes into your life?
back when I was a thespian, Cliff, there would be diarrhea all over the stage some nights.
All over the stage?
Couldn't help it.
You can't be expected to just
hold it in.
Yeah. Not in the stage.
God, there's shit in my pants right now, Cliff.
But of course there is. This laid into the show, of course. It's a given.
Oh, I'm going to go clean my pants. That's what's so sad, Cliff.
Like Mr. Snobbottom couldn't sit quietly in a corner. That's why he's behind that glass.
And Cliff, that's what's so sad.
So sad.
Sorry, I was taking a big old drink of green beer, Cliff. I've been mixing alcohols. If our listeners...
Don't do that.
Are not wearing green. Uh-oh. They can go to cliffandkendall.com, cliffandkendall.blogspot.com, facebook.com/cliffandkendall, email us at cliffandkendall@yahoo.com, give us a call on our fat line at 818-3084-FAT. Maybe you can buy some Cliff and Kendall thongs with a little green in them.
Sure. XXXL. Kendall. An Irishman is never drunk as long as he can hold onto one blade of grass to keep from falling
off the earth.
That's just an Irish saying.
It is. We got the same math email. Cliff,
yeah.
Glad to see your emails working again.
Yeah.
Cliff, may you die in bed at 95 years, shot by a jealous husband or wife. And that is an Irish toast.
Well, Kendall, may your pockets be heavy and your heart be light. And may good luck pursue you each morning and night. And that's an Irish blessing.
Oh,
there.
Cliff, my pockets are empty and my belly is heavy. That's my problem. That's me. I said that.
Oh, take me home. May the roads rise up to meet you. May you always have a wind at your back. Something, something, keep coming back and back. I'm Cliff.
And I'm Kendall. Thanks for listening. Go out and have a green beer and enjoy St. Patrick's Day. We'll see you next week.
Sure you should. Of course you should.
Of course.
Of course.
Why not?
May there always be someone who loves you. May there always be work for your hands. May you always be dealt with kindness as you travel throughout these lands. May there always be food on your table and always a friend you can hold. May your body always be able and your spirit always be bold.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. Cliff and Kendall will be here next time. Keep the emails coming in and be sure to subscribe. And for more sass, visit cliffandkendall.com.